City, Michigan. This is the Progressive Technology Hour, and I'm your host, Bill Alec, and with me today is my lovely producer, Aurora Light.
Well, hello, and thank you for having me.
Just to give you a little background about myself, I'm a degreed electrical engineer, and I currently do software consulting work for major corporations. That describes my day job. At night, I become Dr. Houdini, researcher, explorer, and experimenter in the world of exotic technologies. What are exotic technologies? Well, this includes such areas as free energy, gravity, anti-gravity control, and the study of nature of time and time travel. We'll explore not only the technology, but also the how-to part of the technology. So let's have some fun today and explore the world of exotic technologies. Folks, my special guest this week is free energy researcher and experimenter John Hutchison. John is a self-taught scientist who reports to have accidentally stumbled on a collection of phenomena known as the Hutchison effect. During attempts to study the longitudinal waves of Nikola Tesla back in 1979, some of the effects produced include levitation of heavy objects, metal samples turn transparent, metals turn into jelly, and the spontaneous fracturing of metals. The Hutchison effect has been well documented both on film and videotape and has been witnessed many times by numerous credentialed scientists and engineers. His findings have been televised on the U.S., Japan, and Canada. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me on your show again.
John, on my show a few weeks ago, I had as my guest 911 researcher Dr. Judy Wood, and we talked about the anomalies concerning the Twin Towers coming down on September 11th. She thinks we and the world witnessed a demonstration of the Hutchison effect. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, my thoughts are, good heavens, one heck of a demonstration. A tragic one, too.
Yes, and
I don't know.
You know,
we
went into a little detail about this, and she had some very interesting photographs.
When you studied the effect, did you see any similarity to the effects that you create?
Well, I've been studying Dr. Wood's research for roughly a year and a half. I find it extremely fascinating.
Do you think that it has any validity?
Well, I think it's got some aspects of it that are very unusual, like the metal beams and other strange things. I don't know much about it. I'm still learning from Dr. Wood, of course.
All right, the metal beams, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you go to the Hangar 17, they have a display of the metal samples in there.
Yes, we're there.
Oh, you're there?
Yes.
They have some unusual bent-over beams and things like that in that place.
Uh-huh. That couldn't have been created in the normal fashion?
Well, I don't know if it could be. Although, you know, you're getting into ballistics.
Mm-hmm.
The metals themselves.
Yes.
What kind of steels they were and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'm still wrapping my mind around the whole thing, and it's a big area to wrap your mind around, where she's wrapped around her mind around it quite a bit.
How long have you been checking it out?
Oh, for about a year and a half.
Well, you must have, if it's fascinated you for a year and a half, you must have drawn some conclusions that have interested you along the way.
Oh, one of the main ones is the interesting magnetometer readings at the exact moment the towers came falling down. That interests me quite a bit.
Now, what is that? Could you say that word again?
Oh, magnetometers that read magnetic geomagnetic field of the Earth.
Okay. It measures the geomagnetic field of the Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is it a device that you can get on, you know, eBay?
Well, you can. You get small ones like that, but there's around the United States, Canada, and around the world, they have these units in a small, let's say, emplacement to measure geomagnetic fields of the Earth as well as solar energy in that, solar flux index, and these kind of things. So around 9/11, apparently these readings were quite unique.
Oh, yeah? John, what do you mean by that? Exactly what was unique about them?
There was a shift in the magnometer readings.
Exactly. What did it pertain to?
Well,
what was the shift? What did the shift pertain to?
It pertained to 9/11, exact timing.
I mean, are you talking about that it was an increase, a decrease, or what?
It was a shift of some kind. I think it was a decrease, if I remember it correctly, on the charts that she has on her website.
Well, you know, that would imply massive currents associated with the falling or the collapse of the towers, would you say?
Yeah, when they came down and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm interested in forensics engineering and that kind of thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which little has been done on this event. I mean, it's primarily been whitewashed, okay, by the, you know, the hearings on this. I mean, we hardly received any information regarding the analysis of 911.
Yeah, and they cleaned it up so fast, too, that nobody has any samples to test. Even the conventional scientists there, they were quite perplexed at why everything was quickly removed and nothing could be analyzed. And the steel yards are protecting all the metal like it's gold.
Well, that's odd.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to find where was all this dumped, all this dust.
Yeah, that's a good question, too, because that's a lot of dust. Of course, a lot of it was airborne, but...
But it had to be New Jersey, don't you think?
I don't know. I just know I wish this whole thing never happened. Sort of forever changed the entire world.
Well, you know, Judy Wood described what happened to the towers as a dustification.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of it first that, you know, the towers were vaporized. But no, she said they were dustified. You know, that was her language.
Okay.
So,
and then there's videos of trucks, you know, bringing in dirt and taking out dirt. You know, they were, you know, so I'm just curious where they dumped all that. Have you heard anything about that? I haven't.
Well, from Judy Wood, I have, as well as some people, friends of mine that were around that area.
What did they say?
Well, they were around that area and they got ill. They got sick.
Really?
One of those gentlemen was my previous investor, who was just here a couple of weeks ago. He was at Ground Zero, and he got ill when he was walking around that area.
Huh.
And, I never seen it. I never been in New York City.
Now, was this recent, or?
This is very recent, yes.
So, whatever the effect was, it's still there?
Apparently so. Apparently in what they call Banker's Trust, from my observations of it, it's like the steel in the building is contaminated, and I've seen metal that gets contaminated and starts rusting away extremely fast. And also, it seems to indicate also rapid aging of metal, which is pointed out to me by the Max Planck Institute on some of my metal samples.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Judy Wood here on the line that's calling in. Mm-hmm. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, Judy.
Hello, hello. John here.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
So now, you know, we're talking about bent metal, metal that's bent in rather an odd way. But Judy, could you elaborate on that a little bit about, do you feel, what could have caused that kind of an effect?
Well, something you can ask John. We wrote a series together, pictures that I had gotten from the World Trade Center images and pictures side by side with ones that John had taken, or ones I had taken of John's samples. And there's a whole lot of similarities. What was really interesting to me is that I tabulated all of these different effects and not knowing what caused it until I came upon John's work. And it's like a one-to-one correlation.
Now, you do have some very fascinating photographs on your website. And, you know, I'm looking at this one here where we see this claw dipping into the rubble here and picking up, looks like metal that's still molten.
Well, wait a minute. Now, let's give out Judy's website address.
Yes, it's drjudywood.com, and that's spelled drjudywood.com. And, you know, this is an internet show, so people can enter that URL in your browser and go right to Judy's webpage. And she has these really fascinating photographs.
And they would find those photos by clicking on what, Judy?
Well, if you go to the homepage, the ones that really pertain to John's work, you go down a couple of rows and you see it says anomalies and at the WTC and the Hutchison effect.
Okay.
And there's a pair of rows of images.
All
and
right.
The top row is pictures from John's work, and the bottom row is from the World Trade Center.
I'm trying to understand why you're coming in so unclear. Are you on Skype or are you on phone?
I'm on Skype.
You sound very bad. I don't know. Is there a way that she could come in, Bill, on a regular phone line?
Can someone call me?
Well, Bill there at Achieve, could Judy come in on a regular phone line? Or could you reach Judy and try and get a better connection here? Well, Bill's not coming in, so I'm not quite sure what he's doing.
Well, let's go on with
it. We'll go on with it the way it is, unless he comes up with some kind of a solution here for a better connection. So, you have some questions for our guest?
Yeah, John, you know, I'm looking at these photographs, and one of the interesting anomalies here, you know, we're seeing this molten or very hot metal, okay, that's at the base of this structure here. You know, as they're cleaning this mess up, we see some of this metal here. And what I thought was rather interesting is that Judy pointed out that it's not really radiating heat, you know, in the usual sense. And I know that during your experiments, you've jellified metals. You know, you took a block of aluminum, and you essentially turned it into jello at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
You changed the state of matter.
And
I'm just wondering, you know, if we're seeing a correlation here with that.
It could very well be. Sorry, Bill. Could very well be because a lot of these samples would radiate light, but they were not hot. They were sitting on wood or plastic. And they were videotaped by Super 8 millimeter films. Actually, a number of occasions. I'm still waiting for some film from the Canadian government, as well as the U.S. government, too.
Mm-hmm. So you can be right up next to these metals, and in one sense, they're molten,
mm-hmm.
and yet you don't have this radiant energy being given off, you know, this excessive heat.
No, and we're really kind of perplexed on what that could have been.
Uh-huh. Now, of course, this is tied in with your experimentation using Tesla coils, right?
Well, in the beginning, I used Tesla coils. Now I use vacuum tube technology, which is more precise and is actually, you can just sit down and turn it on, and you get effects right away.
Uh-huh.
The old Tesla system was kind of got to wait a long time for anything to happen. So I slowly changed that in the 80s. Then when I went to Germany, the government, Canadian government stole a lab when I was in Europe for 2 years. And then when I came back, I rebuilt.
I have a question for you. You know, I'm not a scientist at all, and I'm the only one here who is not. But I seems to me, what happened if the towers were going to collapse into that little mound that I saw of dust? What happened to all the metal and the glass and everything? What kind of temperatures would it have to be for that to just disintegrate into dust?
Well, we had large metal pieces that just did that, would just go into smoke. Like several inches of a 3-inch diameter steel bar would just vaporize and go into a black or white smoke. It's kind of strange, but it did happen. And these samples are still being analyzed by Hathaway Consulting as well as Max Planck Institute. There will be a book published I think pretty soon about all this, too.
Really?
We had barrels and barrels. Oh, this book's already published on it. But George Hathaway's published.
About the analyzation of the metals and
yes.
Of the dust?
Well, of the experiments I did, yes. George is putting together quite a book. And there's a book out right now called by Jean Manning called The New Energy Sciences, where because she brought in a team this year, I think, beginning of this year, to view what I was doing in here. And then, of course, New Westminster City decided to shut the lab down with fire marshal because I've been operating this thing so much that the effects were going out covering 10 city square blocks. Well, the mayor, he loves this stuff, but he said it's not zoned for levitation.
Okay, and Dr. Judy, what do you have to say about this this dust that was formed out of metal and glass and people and everything else? Do you think that what kind of temperature would we have to create that?
I don't think much temperature. At all. Matter of fact, I think, you know, from the evidence, the temperature is actually lowered slightly when this happened, as though the energy came out of the material or came from the environment around. As we were talking about with the room temperature luminescence, you know, it looked like it was glowing because of heat, but it was just glowing at room temperature. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really need the heat. It was this other process that just turn the building into dust. That's why I use a new vocabulary. I say it was dustified.
Okay, so
it's a different
what I'm
process.
Saying, like, that's what I'm saying, like in incineration, for example, you know, to melt metal and things like that, we have to have extremely high temperatures. And for it to be as cool as it was right afterwards, that's really odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a different process.
Something else. Yes, a different process. It would have to be.
And there's no way we can get to those temperatures with jet fuel.
No,
at all.
Right. To turn 500,000-ton building into powder in 10 seconds or less.
Now, John, what sort of technology are we looking at here? I mean, in theory, we're talking about weaponizing the Hutchison effect. I mean, that's what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the U.S. military industrial complex has done that a long time ago with this technology. I worked with them, the U.S. government guys, as well as the Canadian government that was linked to the U.S. Pentagon, and just a couple of years ago, I had an offer to join in with the U.S. Pentagon again, but I turned that all down because I like the production aspects of just showing it off to anybody, like History Channel or Fox TV, so...
You did it for that reason only?
Yeah, I'm not interested in 9-to-5 work, really. And I don't like secret stuff too much. I'm kind of like, okay, that's kind of cool. They showed the videos in there just recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to get a tour of the Pentagon. I think it's cool. And I know friends. I have friends.
But you really don't want to show up there every day at 8 a.m., huh?
Not really. No, it's not my cup of tea. But I have friends that come here and visit me from the U.S. Pentagon who are working in Afghanistan now in reconstruction of it.
Are you concerned at all that your information is empowering people to use it in ways that are against humanity?
Well, always, yes. I'm not into that kind of negative energy force, especially it is. I mean, anything is can be used as a weapon, even zero-point energy and antimatter. I mean, they've been developing that for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. Was there any safety mm-hmm. precautions you can take so that doesn't happen, or has it already happened?
Nothing I can do about it. Just, you're dealing with world governments that are pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Soviet Union is way ahead of the United States in this area.
Would you call this particle weaponry?
Oh, that's been around since, goodness, I have lots of documents on it. Yes, you could say that in a way, although
mm-hmm.
particle beams and that are kind of primitive.
Oh, really? In what regard? I thought they could disintegrate a substance almost instantaneously.
Well, they can do that, but now they can do it without too much power. They got a very exotic technology.
You know, well, let's hypothesize here for a second, you know, regarding what happened, you know, to bring down that tower. Now, do you think a field was activated and then explosives went off, possibly?
No, I don't believe in explosions. Or thermite or any of that nonsensical stuff. You know,
yeah, I know people tossed around the idea of thermite explosions.
Mm-hmm. Well, how are you going to get it into a building like that without the security noticing something strange?
Well, you know, Bush's brother, we've got noise on the line. I don't know where it's coming in from, but anyway, we know that Bush's brother, Marvin Bush, was there 2 weeks before 9/11, and that he just happens to own the security company for the Twin Towers. What a coincidence.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, Marvin Bush, and he had the security cameras turned off for a full day in the towers, in both towers, while they went into the elevator shafts and did something. They tweaked something in there.
Somebody was up to no good then. I didn't know that about that. Funny, I was involved with a group with Mark Bush on reverse engineering of alien spacecraft with Gordon Novel last year.
Oh, when was that?
That was actually last year. It was actually reverse engineering of alien spacecraft stuff that they have stored somewhere.
Now, is Mark Bush part of the Bush cartel?
I got their resumes, oddly enough. When the heck did I put them this year? But he was with the Ramstar group. And
Ramstar gets a lot of funding, don't they?
Well, it's reverse engineering of alien spacecraft. It's called the RAM.
Yes.
PNP Corporate Team.
Now they've been through all the ET information. I mean, they're the ones behind Area 51, wouldn't you say, and all that. They're connected with all that underground installations and all that that's going on throughout. I hear the whole Southwest is catacombed with underground installations.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The team...
Have you ever been offered a tour?
Of which one?
Of any of these alien installations?
I've been offered... No, I don't think the alien installations have been offered.
Well, the ones that are working with the, you know, the ET government, you know, installations, I should say.
Oh, actually, I've been offered to work with Lockheed Martin.
How about out there in the desert, out there outside of San Diego? I mm-hmm. had a chap that I connected with who was actually taken out there to the military desert property out there that's all top military secret, and he told me about the mountain door opening Mm-hmm. And then they drove in to the mountain, and inside there was a lot of American kids, along with grays and human-appearing extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you got any exposure to that scenario.
No, I didn't. Wasn't lucky enough to go in on a tour there, but it was...
Any of those places ever come up in your offers to work with the high-tech people?
A number of times, yes. And I was working with the RAM group last year, but I backed out of it. Actually, in a shouting match in the email war with Gordon Novel. Because of so much fighting amongst themselves, and I was actually in Scottsdale that time.
Yes.
Gordon stayed with Helena and myself a few times. We went over tons of material. My job was to accumulate all the companies that could manufacture the parts.
Mm-hmm.
As to the crashed, recovered debris of the...
Do you ever think that people like your the last girlfriend that you had that I met at the restaurant there and stuff, do you ever think that some of those people could be... Maybe undercover agents?
No.
Like, do you think like some of you guys get the
sports?
That's
kind of cool. That's kind of cool. We had one lady here that was visiting me up here. I got a lot of information on my computer.
Yeah, really? See, I think they send you the sport models.
Yes.
You know,
well, I don't mind them. Good heavens.
Well, you know, it's okay if you don't mind, you know, getting, you know, your blood and guts sucked out at the same time. I don't know. Some people could call it exasperating, but, you know, as long as you like it.
Don't forget the X-Files was filmed around here only a few blocks away, too.
Yeah, well... Dr. Judy, have you got any latest developments for us here that you've been working on?
Oh, just more of the same. I don't remember what all we covered last time. But there's some interesting facets of this whole thing. It is pretty amazing that that two 500,000-ton buildings just went away in less than 10 seconds. But so many of the... strange effects left, like I call them the Swiss cheese windows.
Yes, you told us about the holes in the glass, the round holes in the glass. Now, was there actual glass laying on the ground amidst the dust, or what?
I'm not aware of any, but the pictures I see of the holes in the windows that are left, you know, on the sides of buildings, are pretty peculiar, like double-paned windows where one of the panes is broken out. But
are you talking about on the Twin Towers?
No, buildings across the street from them.
Oh, okay. All right. So we need to DM for each. Okay, so across the street, there was actually round holes in the windows?
Yes.
That's
across Church Street on the east side, and in the World Financial Center on the west side, and Bankers Trust on the south side, and the Barclays.
John, what do you think could have caused that?
Well, I've noticed that kind of effect with high voltage. When I did a TV show called Ark of the Covenant Revealed, we noticed that sometimes glass containers will puncture a hole right through them, perfect round hole, which we thought was very intriguing. And it was actually for the production of this show, it was kind of problematic because we're using them as capacitors also. But other things would happen away from the arc itself and project round balls, which, well, my ex calls entities. And it appears like entities actually existed from 52 hours of edited tapes.
Huh. Yeah. I'm wondering about... I saw one time I had a guy who was mic'd over at my house for a little get-together. And I can only assume he worked for one of the alphabet agencies. And he was sitting there in a little group discussion about, we were talking about, just things in general and the state of affairs. And I look outside and I see this green bubble bouncing around in my backyard.
Awesome.
What the heck could that have been? You guys have any take on that? It was about a foot big. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and looked luminescent, and it was just kind of floating around about 3 inches off the ground.
I was going,
wow, look at that thing.
I've seen a few of those things over in Japan, actually. Now, folks would light up fires in the countryside in Japan. They'd light fires up, and we'd go in the back areas, and they'd attract the UFOs for some unknown reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually see, like, balls of light going right across and parallel to each other, right across to the horizon. It's very unusual.
I've photographed them a few times.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Good.
Yes. So I'm wondering, this interdimensionality of the planet that I've experienced directly. I mean, I've actually been teleported through a time-space warp before in my life by their technology upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, do you consider the interdimensional nature of the universe when you're doing your experiments and studying things?
All of it. I encompass all that stuff, as well as, oddly enough, I have some Department of Defense documents on all of what you just said that I was going to videotape and put on YouTube.
Okay. We're here over here in Traverse City where Michael Moore lives, and we run into him all the time over here.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminds me a lot of you, you know, where he just wants the information to get out there to people. And about what's going on here in our society and what we can do to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you really want to make sure that, you know, that you impact society in a way that's going to be beneficial. So what can we all do to help you and do that? What do you need from the American public and from people worldwide to be able to realize? What's your message?
In the gravitational work or the free energy work?
Well, both, please. Feel free to address both issues.
Okay. Well, all it would take is a couple of $100,000 to make a power source, according to my partner, George Hathaway. It's supposed to have been funded by Charles Bombardier of Quebec.
What about Stephen Greer? I thought he was giving out money like it was candy on Halloween.
I don't think so. I don't think he does that.
I mean, he's always at every conference telling every single inventor to come there, and he's got millions of dollars for him in his back pocket. He just has to pull it out.
Well, I've never heard of that actually happening, but I got involved with a network television show that we would be actually showing and airing on Fox TV, the manufacturer of these power cells at what they call the experimental factory.
And they're like over unity is what we're talking about?
No, not over unity, just zero-point energy collectors.
That's okay. And do you need any kind of power source to operate them, or...?
No.
They don't plug into anything?
Don't plug into anything. They're much like Dr. Franklin Mead's patented device, which IBM bought up all the patent applications for it.
So how much money do you need? Bill and I are interested in being investors.
Mm-hmm.
$200,000, and then we're going to be able to transform the planet?
Well, that's what these two guys say to me. I've been through this before. I was expecting $5 million from the Canadian Environment Protection Agency in 2003.
Well, have you come up with anything that you feel could change we need an emancipation of mankind,
mm-hmm.
from, you know, and one of the ways that we're going to get it is through free energy, I feel.
I think so, too, and I think the answer to it is very extremely simple with these power cells. They've proved themselves many times in demonstrations in Japan, Germany, and also on stages down in, I believe, Denver, Colorado.
Now, John, you built some of these power cells, right?
Well, I built several hundred of them over a period of time.
And they're still operating?
Yes.
Why aren't the big corporations banging down your door to make these?
I have no idea. Maybe they don't want to make them. I just don't know. I'm not into politics much.
Have you approached them?
If it's free energy, you can't market it. If it's free.
To create the free energy, to channel the energy, though, isn't free.
You channel it?
Yeah. The device you use to channel the free energy isn't free.
Well, I was hoping that get it into the marketplace and selling small versions of it for $19.95 because it's factory compatible too to tool and die makers.
Okay.
It's injection molded and can be mass manufactured at high speed.
So they could be small enough, in other words, to power your stereo, your transistor radio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's just around
the
corner.
So the end of the battery era.
That'd be end of the battery era. Also to note that the military does have a battery replacer since around 1993.
Really? What is it like?
Well, it works on junction barrier technology where it oscillates a magnetic field, which is posted inside the cell itself. And wrapped around that is a coil, which is activated through the vibrating magnetic fields. And built within the battery itself is like ultra capacitor, so it charges up and gives you working energy.
That sounds great.
That was confirmed to me.
Why aren't you making them?
No, I didn't want to go that complex. I thought, well, going the other way, like Dr. Mead has done, and is simple.
Which is what?
Just common minerals.
Such as?
Especially. Well, galena, for one, germanium, and also just ordinary ground-up rocks.
And what do you do with this mixture?
I put water in it and grind it up, and I treat it with high voltage, and it recrystallizes into what they call a self-reactive material.
A soft-reactive material?
Self-reactive. Self-reactive, like an example that's been out on the marketplace for quite a while now is barium titanate. It's self-reactive material.
And now what can you do with this material?
Well, you can power small devices with it. And if you were to, let's say, go into a bit of R&D on it, you can get it down to a very small size and put it into a honeycomb and then manufacture it as a product. What we want
all right. And now all these people you've rubbed shoulders with, it sounds like you've, visited and dined with and worked with all kinds of very important people.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way. With all these connections you have, are you trying to tell me that raising $500,000 for a project like you're describing is difficult?
It seems to be, although I was funded by Japan for $150,000 and made
that's like nothing, hardly.
No.
Compared to... You know, we got all these billions of dollars being thrown around for CEOs to. You trying to tell me that there isn't anybody out there with $10 or $20 billion that could say, "Here, John, take $5 million. Take $10 million, John, and let's see what you can do with it over the next couple of months.
Change the world with it."
You know, I don't understand what all these multi-billionaires are doing with their money if they're not interested in people like you.
I don't know either. It's perplexing. I have a long-time friend, Prince Liechtenstein, who owns his own country, and he funds George Hathaway, and he suggests to me that $5 million would be great for me, but he never sent a check in. He wrote to Brenda Roberts about that, Ken Shoulders, myself. I show people the letters, and they say there's everything in there except the check. So I don't know what's wrong with people, but
I can't quite understand it. Why you've been like this, stallion out in the field all this time, and nobody, wants to ride the horse. I don't get it.
I mean, they watch all your videos and all your movies.
And they're obviously aware of you.
No, they are. Believe me, they are.
And yet none of them will come forward. That goes to show what a good old boy network it truly is, man.
Yeah, the suppression is big.
The suppression of this technology must be incredible for this to take place.
He who controls the energy controls the people.
Apparently, they don't want us to live back in the teepee days, just get your little your two pieces of wood together and rub them together until you can make a fire.
But you always have to go out and get another piece of wood to start the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And when there's a million people trying to get warm in a city the size of Phoenix, it's a little tough.
And then you have scarcity involved in that.
Exactly. So now, with that in mind, scarcity is a way to control development, which is a way to hinder development, and also, control. It can also be, can either be one or two things. It can be channeling things in a positive way so that we make a better tomorrow for everyone, or it can be holding back technology that could emancipate and illuminate mankind as to their true nature, which is unlimited energy.
And
freedom.
That's what this show is all about, is awareness.
So we want you to know out there, those of you who have heard this show today, that John Hutchinson, you want to invest some money, grandma left you, a couple hundred thousand. This is a good thing to put some money towards, those of you out there who've got some extra cash in your jeans.
And let's face it, I mean, they're bringing society down.
You're not going to have anything to spend it on but cheap plastic crap anyway in the future, so you might as well get something good for your money.
Well, what they're doing now is that they're bringing society down, and we're looking at the upside.
That's right.
So as they bring it down, we're looking to raise it up.
That's right. We'll build a new tomorrow
and
for all.
We want to raise it up with these technologies, zero-point energy technology. Gravity, anti-gravity control. This is what freedom is really all about. And freedom to leave the planet, to come and go as one pleases. You can only do it with anti-gravity control, not with rockets. Rockets, they're not going to get us to the stars at all. What's going to get us to the stars is the control of gravity. Because you control gravity, you can control time. And you can do all this with free energy from the vacuum. And that's what we're talking about, and that's what this show is all about, is public awareness of these technologies.
And bringing together communities who want to work towards these goals, and each of us individually and collectively together, coming together to be part of the solution here for a new beginning for the planet, because this is truly a time where we have to take advantage of the information that we've gathered so far, put it to the best use possible, and we're going to go into that more and more here on the Progressive Tech Hour and on VNN Vortex Network News and on the Cosmic Connection of what we can each do to empower and to create a tomorrow that we are all going to want to be part of.
Because it's not the end, folks. This is not the end. We're talking about a new beginning.
That's right.
And it's a new beginning with these technologies. See, and I firmly believe this is what's going to save the planet, ultimately. This technology
and create
will
that,
save the
and
planet.
That create that utopian planet of abundance of organic food for all, and
which all translates into health.
Education
of the individual.
I mean, look what one woman, Oprah, has done. One gal who was raised up in the backwoods, by all kinds of things against her as a child, and yet she has now a school there in Africa where she helps hundreds of girls get an education and empower themselves. And they're going to go out and change those communities. And each one of us has to go out and change the community. We've been given all the advantages, the education and the ability. We've been given all that through down through the ages. So we don't have any excuses about sitting on the sidelines any longer. We can take this information and empower each other with it.
And I think with the work that you're doing, John, and also Judy Wood here, is to enlighten the public to say, hey, wait a minute, these technologies exist, but what we want to do is to implant the idea that these technologies can be used for good, to help mankind. And I think what we're seeing here are demonstrations of this technology to bring the planet down, okay, to control the population. And really what we're seeing over the past few weeks is all this money given away to these bankers to grab control mm-hmm. of the planet, control of the resources, to take it away from the people and just use it for themselves. And, you know, it's a concept that's it's self-centered, self-serving, just selfish thought. And we're looking to turn that around. We're looking to empower the people to put this technology back into the people's hands. And that's what we want to do here is to get this
and in
this
the secrecy. Idea. Lift the veil of secrecy.
That's right. And all this technology is sitting out there in the black world, okay, the top secret world. And they want to use this technology against the people to control them, to call the population. And the only way we can combat this is that if everybody knows about it, this is what puts a wrinkle. And this is the most, I would say, damaging part to them, because they want to control the information, too, with censoring of the Internet. So we want to get this information out there, put it in the hands of the people.
Yeah, you know, we shared in the last show on Vortex Network News, I don't know if you're aware of it, Dr. Judy and John, that they are, you know, trying to pass laws to censor the Internet.
Oh, I
and
heard about that.
It's in place. It's in place now. That.
In China and in Australia, it's already going on. Or where was it? Which country? Argentina.
Australia,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Australia is where, have you heard that they test out a lot of the things?
Yeah, it's a test country for all kinds of different controls.
Yes.
And up in Canada here, they want to ban all natural supplements through Bill C-51.
Oh, of course. Can't have people being too healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into life extension, and I'll be fighting that tooth and nail, of course.
Of course. Yes,
absolutely.
We have to. See, it's. I feel like the camp is being surrounded, mm-hmm. you know, by the Indians. And we're sitting there, you know, at the camp, looking at all the Indians with, you know, with their arrows pointed at us, and we're saying, "Okay, Lord, what now? What would you have us do?" You know, and it's like, you know, we're all being directed on different levels. I think to do what we can to bring greater awareness to the reality of the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm. And I think the great work that you know, you're doing, John, and Dr. Wood, is to enlighten the population.
Well, that's what we're going to try and do, even through possibly, hopefully, a network television show on Fox. That's
now, John, when's your next show going to air?
On which? On Fox?
Or any of them?
Well, we got the network show in the works still. The legacy people like it and CAA. As well as I might have a spot on ABC's Wife Swap by Richard Heaney, who's a crazy person like myself, and because he's into all this stuff, exotic technology also. So,
well, who are you going to get to play your wives?
Yeah, well, I'll figure that out later. But
I'll
figure that out later.
John, I'll assign you the sport.
Is it, John, really, you got nothing better to do but go on Wife Swap? Is really that? Is it gotten that bad?
Well, no. Richard Heaney wants to start up a new ABC series called Science Detectives. That's what his main goal is. He's just built a UFO He's just looking for a power source for it now, an ion drive for the thing. And I said in an email to me today that he'd love to have me down. He's going to ask ABC if I can get down there.
Well, Dr. Houdini here, he knows all about the latest, like you.
I know. I love it. And my next shows, they air randomly on History Channel and Discovery Networks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when they air because I'm told if I go out on the streets here, I'm told something's aired, like Ark of the Covenant aired a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I
saw that.
Oh, cool. You did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
cool.
A good show.
Thank you. So I don't know when the shows air. I've done over 200 of these things and news stories, so they randomly air, and I find sometimes that I'm not even in the show. They have somebody else playing me in a French movie or something. And I thought, what the heck is this all about? The interview, Dr.
Why can't
Andrew
you just go to historychannel.com and see the lineup for the month?
I don't know. They do air one of them. It's called Earth Black Hole.
I would think that they would have their monthly lineup, you know, there on the website, you know, so just like TV Guide or something, for God's sakes. So, you know, John, I think you can figure it out here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the rest of it figured out, so, you know.
I've been downloading.
I think you can figure out when your shows are airing.
I don't know.
We're going to come up there to Vancouver and play and watch you make something wiggle or something.
Okay, John, you mentioned that you're going to be moving down to L.A.
Well, that's my goal.
Well, what they're going to see over there, I think we're going to go over to L.A. next.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got our eyes set on the L.A. area here for our next rendezvous with Destiny.
It's kind of a cool area. I know so many people down there, and they're quite supportive. And they're all into
they definitely need us there in Hollyweird, you know?
Oh, yes. That's the entertainment capital of the world.
Thank you, Dr. Judy. Thank you for your excellent website and all your information.
And this wraps up another show of the Progressive Technology Hour. I'd like to thank John Hutchison as my guest today. John, thank you.
Pleasure, kind sir. A really pleasure being with you and Aurora. Hearing your voice again.
Okay, great. Coming up next here in our lineup, Michael Elejan, as he explores cutting-edge contact with cosmic beings. That's next on Achieve Radio. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you all.